This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
3 minutes after 12 is the time, and you are listening to Mystery Hour with James O'Brien on LBC, your weekly opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction not ordinarily available anywhere else on your radio dial. And that is closest we ever come to a cast iron guarantee, a stone cold promise on this programme. Oh, and that and the fact that by 1 o'clock today, you will know more than you do now. It may not be useful knowledge, it may not be knowledge for which you are thankful, it may not even be knowledge that you can remember by 1:15. But it is nonetheless knowledge that you do not currently possess and will possess by 1 o'clock today. If you have a mystery that needs solving, a question that needs answering, a conundrum that needs unravelling, then the number you need is 03456060973. And if you hear somebody else ask a question to which you do know the answer, then the number remains the same. And I think, actually, we'll crack straight on, shall we, this week? I don't think you need any more explanation. Except to say that there is the added attraction of the best contributor, the best contribution to the programme, winning a copy of the brand new Mystery Hour board game, which is now securing rave reviews in all corners of the board game playing community, including, finally, my own family, who got around to playing it. 5 minutes after 12 is the time. I may give you some pro tips in the course of the programme, but I will need to concentrate even more than usual on judging as we go. You can find the full terms and conditions for this competitive element of Mystery Hour at lbc.co.uk. Shall we start straight away? Yeah? Kit's in Reigate. Kit, question or answer?
I've got a question for you.
That's a relief.
There you go. I was just curious. Who has the longest official documented family tree?
Oh, I love that.
It could be in the world or the UK. I was just curious.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, so who? I mean, it's going to be a royal, isn't it? It's got to be royal.
Well, this is my thoughts. I thought, yeah, it would probably straight away be the royal family.
Well, not necessarily our royal family, but a royal family.
Maybe.
Because whenever you watch, who do you think you are? Did you see the one with, was it Josh Widdicombe?
And he turned always wanted to watch those, but I never get around to it.
Well, that's an odd question. We've got an interest in genealogy. This programme is absolutely dead. They may even have already answered this question. I haven't seen all of them. But Josh Widdicombe turned out to be related. And it's not that big a deal when you actually dig in deeper to it, because there were so few people around then, and there's so many people around now that most people have probably got a link. Danny Dyer was incredible. He was related to Richard III,
Dyer,
I think. And Josh Widdicombe was related to Henry VIII, so he could have been technically in line to the throne. So I don't know. I'm thinking like a Mesopotamian royal family or something like that might. But so I love it. Well, who's got the longest, the biggest, the longest family tree going furthest back?
And it's got to be documented. Like, you could look it
obviously
up, you could prove it.
Yes,
and it's
exactly
not like just an agreed sort of, oh, yeah, it must be
all right,
the royals or
blimey,
whatever.
Laying down the law here, Kit, blimey. You're not a teacher, are you?
No, not.
12:06 is the time. Kit wants to know, and now so do I. And that, of course, is how Mystery Hour works, because chances are, now so do you. Who's got the longest family tree? 03456060973. Carl is in Kidderminster, God's own country. Carl, question or answer?
Hi, James, it's a question.
Carry on.
Is there any basis in food really tasting better the day after it's been cooked?
I bet there is, you know. I've thought about this a lot, but isn't it like marinating?
No, I mean, as I say, it's my mum. If she cooks a stew and she goes, oh, it's always better the day after.
Yeah, it's marinated more. It's marinated more.
But you marinate before you cook something.
Yeah, but it doesn't stop marinating after you've cooked it.
I don't know, does it?
I don't think it does. So you think of a stew or a curry. I think it's a form of marinating that is going on there. But I mean, the question's on the board. It's an extremely good question, because
thank you.
I think we all have. Do you eat curry much?
Yeah.
Where do you get your curry from?
I make it.
Do you make your own? You don't ever get deliveries or go out for a curry in Kiddie?
Very rarely. I usually make my own.
Well, I'll tell you the one I like. I can't remember what it's called. Oh, flipping heck. On the hill opposite the multi-storey car park, it's got the word blue in the title. Do you know the one I mean? Next to where the Kidderminster Shuttles offices used to be. Near where the...
Yeah.
How old are you, Carl?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
How old are you?
46.
Yeah, so near where the toy shop used to be. Do you remember? Near Playmates.
Yeah.
You remember?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
I do.
That's all right for a curry. Do you follow the Harriers by any chance?
I don't. No. I don't. Sorry, James.
Well, now's the
I do drink it. But I do drink in the cloud in Chelmsford.
Well, that's nice. We've had that. We've touched on that. Pint of Bathams. I think now's the time to start following the Harriers. After that result at Gloucester on Tuesday night, Carl, we got the, this could be our season. Anyway, I shall find out for you. Just indulging in a little bit of homesickness. I'm up soon for Mum's birthday, so you might be able to buy me that pint. Carl wants to know: is there a scientific basis for the widespread belief that food tastes better the day after? And I think of curries and stews, and some food doesn't. Obviously, I don't think Chinese food ages very well in the fridge, but Indian food does. I'm a big fan of cold pizza, but I think that's because I have quite a lot. Well, it doesn't matter. 9 minutes after 12 is the time. Hayden is in Ashington in Northumberland. Hayden, question or answer?
It's a question.
Carry on, Hayden.
I would like to know.
Yes.
Can you get two colds at the same time?
Ooh. I presume you can, because, I mean, it's just a virus, isn't it?
Hmm.
Because
last week I was laid up and it wasn't COVID or anything.
No.
I did the tests and everything. But it was really nasty. And then a couple of days later, I started sneezing again. And I thought, is this the same one or is it something different? Or can you get two at the same time? Or...
I like that a lot.
Thank you.
No, you're on. I've never been. That's a cracking question. I'm trying to think who'd know the... Well, yeah, doctors would know the answer, wouldn't they? Virologists. I shall find out for you. Are you feeling better now?
Yeah, I'm getting there.
All right.
I'm getting there.
Still not tickety-boo.
Not 100%.
How many colds do you think you might have at the moment, then?
None at the moment, but that might change after the weekend.
That's the one. 10 minutes after 12. Thank you very much, Hayden. Can you get two colds at the same time? Thank you to Mark. Bombay Blue is the name of the curry house that I was looking for. It's one of the good ones. I also like the one on Cumberton Hill. Although Mark's broken the rules of mystery hour. He just Googled that. I can't get much mileage out of the curry houses of Kidderminster, can I? Although that might well be my next book. Two colds at the same time. Is there a scientific or a culinary basis for the widespread belief that food tastes better the day after you've cooked it, or and who has the longest family tree? Daniel's in Glasgow. Daniel, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on.
Where did borders, countries' borders, actually begin? Where was the first ever for border?
Gosh, that's a good question. Well, the first borders would have been walls, wouldn't they? That'd have been like walled towns and walled cities, just to, you know... You
decide to put up borders between countries, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you mean like a border... the first border between two, what we'd recognise today as countries. Two countries.
Yeah, then it may have been continents or something, I'm not sure.
No, I don't know. I think your phone line's a bit sticky as well, so I'll crack on, but thank you. It's a great question. You get all these names written down. I'm being a lot more professional than usual because there's terms and conditions, you know, involved now. Oh, yes, terms and conditions. Ian's in Orsett in Essex. Ian, question or answer?
Question, James.
Carry on.
Why is belly button fluff always blue?
I can't believe they've put you through. This is like asking about baby pigeons and white dog poo, isn't it? This is one of the most hardy perennials of all mystery-based entertainments. Why is belly fluff button? I think it even appears in adverts for other sort of belly fluff button, belly button fluff, always blue. The more I sort of blather on like that, the harder I'm working internally to come up with an answer, because I'm sure we've done it before. It might even feature in the board game, this one, Ian.
We've had some experiments in pubs, and it always comes out blue.
I know. Oh, mate, don't remind me never to go for a drink with you, getting your big bellies out all over the place. Seriously, it's scooping out the contents of your belly buttons. There's no need for that sort of behaviour. Flipping Essex, eh? It's not. It's a curious corner of the country, is Essex.
Whitmore Arms, Orsett, that's the classic, yeah.
That should have got you a free pint tonight. If nothing does, the Whitmore Arms in Orsett. I shall find out why is belly fluff button always blue. Thank you, Ian. And probably one or two more before the break. John's in Bristol. John, question or answer?
Oh, James, question, mate.
Hello, John, how are you?
I'm all right, how are you?
Mustn't grumble. What have we got this week?
Thank God for Mystery Hour.
I couldn't agree more. Let's go.
When you're looking at an aeroplane that's stood on the end of the runway and it starts up and the propellers are up at full pelt,
yeah,
they seem to slow down.
Yep.
And then almost stop, and then they run backwards.
Yeah.
Why?
As they speed up, you mean they do this?
As they speed up, and then all of a sudden you can see the prop and it suddenly changes direction and appears to run backwards.
It appears to run backwards. I know the answer to this. I'm not 100% confident that I can correctly articulate it. So I'm going to try, and you can decide whether or not you are satisfied with the answer.
Okie doke.
It is, imagine that your eye is a camera, and it can only take a finite number of frames per second. Are you still with me?
Yeah, go on, yeah.
And at the point that the propeller reaches a speed with which your eye can't keep up,
right.
That is the point at which your eye tells your brain that the propeller is actually going backwards.
Right. So we're looking at retention of vision then, in a way.
What? What? I don't know. Why are you asking the question if you know fancy phrases like that?
You've reminded me of something that my old science teacher taught me years ago. I'm frightened of flying.
Right.
I've always put it down to the fact I've got too many gin and tonics down my neck before I've got on the plane.
Should make you feel better, actually.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think that's it. I don't know whether it's the retention of vision. I don't know what that means. But it's the fact that your eyes are telling your brain, they're giving information to your brain, but the propeller is moving quicker than your eyes can process the information. Are you going to accept that answer or not?
Yeah, I think I will on that, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, because retention of vision is, if you look at a light, then shut your eyes, you can still see the light.
I don't know if that is the same thing.
No, it might not be. No,
if I were you, I'd forget about retention of vision.
Yeah.
And let's think of a fancy thing to call what we've just described.
Yeah,
let us call it... Keith says shutter stutter, but I don't think that quite works. I'm going to go for ocular acceleration syndrome.
Brilliant. And could I carry on taking the gin and tonic just in case?
I think, well what harm can it do? Also, the quinine could protect you against malaria.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah.
So everyone's a winner. Round of applause for me. John, look after yourself.
We'll speak again soon,
I hope. And that, of course, that question is now not just susceptible, but quite possibly vulnerable to a steward's inquiry.
You could wingsuit off a skyscraper in Seoul into a firefight.
What a time to be alive!
Or you could wingsuit off a skyscraper in Seoul into a firefight. In a tornado.
What a time to be alive!
Battlefield 2042. Available now.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
90 minutes after 12 is the time, and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. David Wimbledon says, I can trace my family all the way back to Danny Dyer. I like it. And Sher E. Punjab is the curry house I should have praised. It's my favourite curry house in Kidderminster, actually. I went there with Mum just, I think it was the first time we went out after the lockdown, actually. And one of the waiters was very kind about the radio show, which Mum absolutely loves it when that happens. So I should have remembered, although now my inbox is full of other recommendations, which I shall be happy to explore next time I'm home. 19 after 12 is the time. Who has the longest family tree? Does food taste better the day after? Is there a culinary stroke, chemistry-based explanation of that? Can you get two colds at the same time? Where was the first border between two countries? Why is belly fluff button? Belly fluff button. Belly fluff button. Belly button fluff always blue. Jackson's in Dagenham. Jackson, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Yeah.
James, I may have been taught this in school, but I just don't understand, or I can't remember what it is.
Right.
2 + 2 = 4,
mate. Round of applause. Round of applause for me, please. Thank you very much. God, that's one of the easiest ones. That's not going to make the next booster edition of the board game, Jackson.
The question is 2 + 2 × 4.
Yeah.
10. Yes. And you've got to do the multiplication first.
Yes.
But what is the fundamental reason for that? Because if you did it the other way, 2 × 2 + 4, you get 8.
Yes.
But the thing is,
Bod mass.
I heard some, well, I was taught PEMDAS.
What?
Parenthesis.
B is brackets.
Yes, exactly.
P is parenthesis. Exactly, so you were taught Podmass and I was taught Bodmass.
Right. So the thing is, what is the fundamental reason for it?
Not that you
apply the rule, but the thing is, what is the fundamental reason?
No, I get it. You want
liquidity.
You want the liquidity, or you want to go to the essence of the rule.
Yeah. I don't even want to know who discovered it.
No.
That is not even necessary. The fact that I think,
and I'll tell you what, I'm never on thinner ice than when I start pontificating pompously about matters mathematical, Jackson.
Well, neither would I.
But I don't. I think we're looking up. I think we're barking up the wrong tree.
Are we?
Yeah. I think mathematics is rules, and this is just a rule that has been a convention that has been applied and subscribed to since mathematics began to spread around the world.
So in that case, if 2 plus 2 multiplied by 4 is 10, I can just as easily say, well, I can do the addition first and the multiplication and then come up with 16, and it'll still be right.
It would be technically right in a way, but it would not be right in the context of conventional mathematics. You're looking for a reason for the rule. And the only reason for the rule is that there needs to be a rule, otherwise there wouldn't be a consensus on what 2 plus 2 times 4 equals. In order to have a consensus on what 2 plus 2 times 4 equals, there has to be a rule. So the rule came after the confusion, not before. The reason why there's a rule is that you need a rule. That is the answer. The rule is the answer to the question.
So we have two answers, 10 and 16.
Yeah.
How do you work out which is right?
What's the rule?
The rule was made up by someone who...
The rule is Bodmass, Jackson. Bodmass.
But the fundamental reason for it, though. The fundamental reason behind it. Well, we know the rule.
I've told you the fundamental reason behind it is that everyone has to agree on what 2 plus 2 times 4 is.
Yes, once we've worked out the rule...
It's 16 is the answer, not 10. You're not confused about that, are you? 16 is the answer.
But, James, you do the multiplication first.
Yeah, so 2 times 4 is 8, and then... Oh, no, 10, sorry. It's 10 is the answer. Yeah, you're quite right.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, all right.
So you have to know the fundamental reason...
I've just shown you why. That was a deliberate mistake designed to get you to impose the rule, Jackson.
Right.
Now you know why there's a rule. So that there is a right answer. You can't have a right answer without a rule. Oh, go, we have a rule to have a right answer. It's chicken and egg.
Well, I think we'll have to put a question mark on that one.
I'm not going to argue with you on this occasion.
We'll have to get, what was his name, Professor Brian Cox or someone to explain what the fundamental...
I don't think he's up to it, mate. Seriously, he's too busy staring at the stars. Dara O'Brien's very good at this kind of thing. I don't know if he'd be able to help us, or possibly Keith.
Yeah, there's something behind it. Someone must.
There's
know
not. I'm pretty confident I've given you the answer, but I'm far. You know, I'm just quite an easygoing lad, quite modest. Right, I'm not going to make a big song and dance about it. You know.
So am I. I'm quite easygoing.
There you go.
Give you a round of applause.
No. I don't want your round of applause, Jackson. I don't want your round of applause. We shall find out. Why is there that rule about the order in which functions must be done in a long calculation? 0345 60 60 973. Apparently, it's evolved from Bodmass into Bidmass. Did you know this? Because it was of, as in, well, it's now indices. But anyway, no matter. Why is there a rule? Why is there an order? Everyone's telling me it's called Bidmass. I'm 49 and three quarters years old. I can't be expected to keep up with every change and development. Rob's in Reading. Rob, question or answer?
Answer, please, James.
Carry on, Rob.
The longest family tree has got to be the Japanese emperor.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Fantastic. How far back does it go?
It goes back about 1,500 years. There's evidence before that, but it gets a bit hazy because they think they actually descended from gods.
Are you sure? Are you sure we can't go back further? Because we've got names of monarchs in this country.
If you include the monarchs where there's sketchy evidence, it goes back about 2,000.
Really?
2,681 years.
Approximately.
Approximately.
Approximately 2,681 years, if you include the gods.
No, the not the gods, the people that descended from them, yes.
Okay.
Demigods, if you will. But it goes back about that far, but you can track the family tree from Naruhito today all the way back 1,500 years.
Qualifications?
I'm a casual fan of Japanese history.
Yeah, but that's my problem, you see, Rob. Is that a qualification? Because if you're a casual fan of Cambodian history, you might know that their royal family goes back even further.
That's true, but they
hoping you wouldn't agree with me quite so quickly on that one.
Well, they do.
Fight your corner, Rob.
It's common knowledge they do go back that far.
But is it common knowledge that they go back further than others, than all others?
No, you've got to have a bit of knowledge that it goes back even further than that.
No, but if you know a lot about the Japanese monarchy, is it an article of faith that it is the oldest family tree, the longest family tree in the world? Or are you just speculating on that?
They do have evidence that it goes back 2,600 years, but it's...
But there might be someone over there that goes... I guess I'm asking, have you ever heard it described as the longest family tree in the world before today, when you described it as the longest family tree in the world?
They have the oldest continuous hereditary monarchy.
That's good.
One direct line from father to son all the way down back 1,500 years. If you want to go back any further, it does get a bit sketchy.
No, that's fine. No, I understand all of that. I'm not questioning the length of the family tree. I'm questioning whether it is the longest available. And I think it probably is, isn't it?
Yes.
Round of applause for Rob.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. Constructive and productive area of enthusiasm, that is. People are suggesting I could write a book about the pubs and curry houses of the West Midlands, which is a rather less impressive area of expertise. Although my publishers are agitating for a new volume at the moment. I'm not sure that they'd bite my arm off on that one. 28 after 12 is the time. Dan's in Bromley. Dan, question or answer?
Oh, hi, James. It's a question.
Carry on, Dan.
So why does your hair get darker, or change colour, get darker as you get older from childhood?
Don't know. I like that. I'm just surprised. I was just surprised it hasn't come up before. Why does your hair change colour? Why doesn't it stay the same colour all your life? I mean, it's going to be evolutionary, I suppose, is it, in some way,
well,
shape or form?
I don't know. I'm asking, my six-year-old got white blonde hair, and I had as well, and mine's now mousy brown,
same.
Let's say.
Same here. I had lovely Milky Bar Kid hair when I was a nipper.
Yeah, exactly that.
And one of my daughters is blonde, actually. She stayed blonde. She hasn't gone... mousy, and the other one never was blonde. She's got different coloured hair. It's strange.
When did your hair change?
I'm thinking puberty, probably.
Yeah, probably. About me too. I think
around 12, 13, it started. Yeah. Being, which was a shame, really, because that's when that's when you want to be looking your best.
And having
those lovely flaxen locks would have no doubt made me even more of a hit with the girls. But hey ho, we all have our crosses to bear. I shall find out for you, Dan. We want the why of it, yeah? Why don't we keep the same hair colour all our lives? Nice one. Thank you very much indeed. We're doing pretty well. I forgot, what was the name of that? Rob in Reading. Let me write that one down. Where is longest family tree? Asked by Kit, answered by Rob. It's 12:30. Amelia Cox is here now with your headlines.
This Christmas, why not give someone a new National Lottery scratch card? Prizes of up to £1 million could be won in an instant. That can't happen with socks. Socks will never win anyone £1 million, no matter how hard you scratch them. Forget socks and go with a new scratch card from the National Lottery. A small gift with big possibilities. Search Dream Big, Play Small. Please gift responsibly. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. This is LBC.
It's 33 minutes after 12. I liked Rob's answer to the longest family tree question, but there may be a steward's inquiry on the horizon. Why does food taste better? Does food genuinely taste better the next day? Can you get two colds at the same time? Where was the first border between two countries? Why is belly button fluff always blue? I've done the aeroplane propellers. Again, Stuart's inquiries could be following. Why bod mass or bid mass? Why does it happen? And hair colour. Why does our hair colour change as we get older? Lisa is in Faversham. Lisa, question or answer?
I've got an answer for you, James.
Carry on, Lisa.
So, bod mass, or bid mass, or whatever people want to call it.
Yes.
You do your brackets first, okay? That's unquestionable. But in terms of the multiplication and division and then addition and subtraction, it's because if you take multiplication, really what it is repeated additions. And so it takes precedence over simple addition.
So 8 fours is 4 plus 4 plus 4 plus 4 plus 4.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. And similarly, division is just repeated subtraction, so similar rule. And so it takes precedence over simple subtraction. And so that's why at least those sections are in that order.
Ooh, that's really good. Do you know how I know that's good?
Why?
I can understand it.
Yay!
Seriously, I never understand stuff like that. Do you know, the reason that I once got assaulted by a teacher was because I find it very hard to understand stuff. No, this was fine. This was a healthy assault. There were plenty of unhealthy ones, which I write about in my last book. But the healthy one, Sokotoa, Lisa.
Yep.
So he got us all to wait outside the room, and then we all came in one by one, and we weren't allowed to give any hint to the people coming through the room what he was about to do. And he would stamp on our foot quite hard. And that's how I can remember Sokotoa, because he said then, now you all want to go and soak your toe. And obviously in trigonometry, sine opposite and hypotenuse, cosine adjacent and hypotenuse, and tangent is opposite and adjacent. And that was 49, 20 minus 30, carry 2, 6, 50, that was a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
And it still works. It still works. But I understand what you said now, but I've never had division and multiplication explained in that way before. Qualifications? Don't spoil it.
I'm a teacher, James.
What do you teach?
Well, I was a business and economics and IT teacher, and I've also taught a bit of math. And I've also got an 8-year-old.
Yes.
Who's standing right next to me. He's off school at the moment sure we can all guess.
Yes.
He's just run away because he's all embarrassed. He's just heard Mum on the radio.
He doesn't want to say hello.
Well, no, I can't actually see him anymore.
That's fine. I was going to let him decide whether or not you get a round of applause. But as it is, I shall decide.
Do I get a round of applause?
Of course you do. Absolutely.
He's clapping his hands.
All day long. There we go. Lovely stuff. That's a very, very good answer as well. And there's a child in the room, which last week I ignored because I felt that it was tugging on my heartstrings when... do you know what happened? It was awful. The dad actually then sent a picture of his 11-year-old daughter with the game. So they bought one after not winning, and I just felt rotten. It was like, will I fall this week? Will I go for it this week? But that was a lovely answer from Lisa. That goes there. Jackson asked it. Lisa answered it. Rich is in Stafford. Rich, question or answer?
Hi, James. It's an answer.
Carry on.
It's the answer to the question, why does food always taste better the next day? And I think you kind of hinted at it a little bit to the caller. The reason for it is that a lot of the sauces and stocks that you make the food with, the spices that you put in them break down over a period of time. So the longer you leave that sauce and the spices in them, the molecules and the spices break down and they marinate, creating a stronger flavour sauce. The meat always tastes better because, you know, meat is like a sponge.
Yes.
And the longer you leave it to soak in something, like you would a sponge in anything, it soaks flavour more. So the more you leave it, the more it flavours itself. That's the basic reason for it.
Qualifications?
I used to be a chef. I'm not anymore, but I used to be a chef. Birmingham International College of Food, and then went to work in London.
I do. And not just meat. It would work with anything absorbent, like a tofu would work, but it wouldn't work with a carrot.
Yeah, totally. I mean, my old food lecturer always used to say as well that food always tasted better the next day because you'd eaten it the day before, so you knew it was going to taste anyway. So mentally, you anticipated.
That's interesting.
I'm not sure exactly if that's true.
It might be part of it, but yours is going to be a bigger part of it, isn't it?
It's the same kind of thing, whereas if you, if you've been for an Indian meal, like you were saying about your favourite Indian restaurant.
Yes, the Sherti Punjab.
Yeah, you try to make a curry, don't you, at home, and it's inevitably just
not
never
even
quite
close, mate. Not even close. There was a little book years ago that was like the curry restaurant cookbook.
Yeah.
As opposed to authentic Indian recipes, which, I mean, you know, for good or for ill, don't bear much resemblance to what we buy in,
well,
in our local tandoori.
And the reason for it is, which I found out, you could ask any Indian restaurant this, most Indian food is made from a base kind of sauce. You think you go to an Indian restaurant, there's maybe 100 dishes on the menu. Yeah. Nobody cooks 100 dishes from scratch.
So onion and tomato.
That's it, onion, tomato, garlic, coriander, Andalusian.
That's
kind of
it. Yeah. But
they make those sauces weeks in advance and freeze them down. So that garlic is getting stronger, the onion is getting stronger. So by the time they come to thaw that sauce out and make it, it's really potent, much more potent than we...
And it's not an overwhelming flavour, but it is a much deeper flavour.
That's the key word, isn't it? It's a much deeper flavour.
It
much
is.
Much richer in flavour.
Oh, beautifully. I'm hungry now.
Yeah, me too.
Round of applause for Rich.
Thanks, James.
Thank you, mate. Lovely answer. Lovely question as well. They're contenders. 12:40 is the time. I should have stressed, apparently we're having troubles with some callers. I'm going to come out, I'm just going to do this. Have we got a little tannoy type sound effect, Keith? We've got something like that? Please remember, no petting. No, please remember that you are not allowed to look things up. You are not, I repeat, not allowed to look things up. This is an exercise in illumination, elucidation and education. So obviously if you ring, and so I've just Googled it, you're not really entering into the spirit of things. This concludes your public service announcement. 12:40 is the time. Graham's in Liverpool. Graham, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
Oh, correction, really.
Oh, no. Stewart's inquiry.
Stewart's inquiry. The oldest family tree?
Yeah.
I believe it's Confucius's or Master Kong's from China who predated Jesus, and the Chinese have been keeping his lineage going for over 2,000 years. In really detailed scrolls. And apparently there's living descendants of Confucius. Many of them alive today in China.
There would be a lot. Qualifications?
There is a lot. I'm the world's most travelled scouser. That's my qualification.
How are you, man? Good to speak to you again.
yeah, I'm good. Good, thanks.
I like that. And I had that a lot on the text as well. That'll probably do the job. And did you pick this up in China yourself?
Yeah, I did. I was travelling around Tibet, and I had to rip out the Tibet section from my lonely planet.
Before they'd let you into China.
Before they let me in, and I was standing there on the border just reading up about Master Kong, and it said, "Yeah, they keep all the records of his descendants."
Right, it's a round of applause.
That I keep in my head.
It's a round of applause, Graham, for you. I don't know how great Robin Redding is going to feel about it. But I think that does supersede, and there it is. Great work, thank you. And crikey, everyone. So it's called. No, it's by Chris Dillon. It's The Curry Secret, Indian Restaurant Cooking at Home. How do people know this? I've had other suggestions as well. The Curry Guy by Dan Toombs, but no, the one I'm thinking of from my childhood is that one there, Chris with a K, Dillon with an H. 12:42 is the time. Connor's in Benfleet. Connor, question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on.
Belly button fluff.
Oh.
Sorry, I think it's an Essex thing as well.
Go on, what have you got? Why is it always blue was the question.
It isn't always blue.
And that is a valid
answer.
I
wear red polos for work and I get red belly button fluff.
Yeah, I guess it's the most common colour we wear, probably, is it? Especially blokes.
Yeah, it was probably a small sample size from what they were
the pub.
Testing.
Can't remember what the pub was called, but you'd think they might have checked whether they were all wearing blue shirts.
Yeah.
Or a variation on a blue shirt, because a black shirt will probably leave blue fluff.
Yeah, I'm sure I've had green belly button fluff in the past as well.
You might want to see someone about that.
Yeah, I think I might.
Be careful on that one. You never know. It could be a symptom of something quite unpleasant. Qualifications, I have red belly button fluff.
Yeah, not proud of it, but
why not?
It is what it is.
Own it. Round of applause for Connor. Lovely stuff.
Thank you.
No, cheers, mate. I appreciate that. And let's jot that one down. Who's winning at the moment? I might consult with Keith during the break, see what we think the best caller is, best contributor so far. Any thoughts on that? Remember, one was from Kidderminster, so that's 10 points already. So way ahead of the field. 12:43 is the time. Christina is in Aldershot. Christina, question or answer?
Question.
Carry on.
Why are cats so temperamental? I've got seven.
How many?
And they're the worst of enemies one time, and then the best of friends 2 minutes later.
Yes. Well, so are humans.
cats.
Yes, but so are humans.
Well, not quite as quickly as cats do.
Really?
Mine will spit at each other and then fall asleep together, purring.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess if they're fighting over something, they're going to be fighting, aren't they? So if they've both got full, if they've all got full bellies and they're feeling secure, then they're not going to fight.
But it's the switch that I'm kind of finding difficult. It's how come that can change in, you know, a minute,
a nanosecond. Well, I don't. I mean, children are like that as well.
Yeah. My kids were fighting once, and they once turned round to me. When I told one of them off, the other one turned on me to say,
Yeah,
I suppose it's the same thing.
I think it is. And what the why of it? I don't know. It's just moods, isn't it? Cat moods.
I don't know.
Cat moods. All right, I'll put it on the list, but I don't know if it's a genuine mystery. Cat moods. Okay. Why are mammals, why are creatures so temperamental? I mean, a cat's cross, and then it's not... cross. I imagine if you've got seven cats, they're more temperamental because they've got six other cats getting on their nerves all the time. Don't you think?
It's the time it takes to change.
Yeah, the speed of the mood change. But I mean, it would be odder if it took ages, wouldn't it? If you had a really cross cat and then it was a bit less cross and then a bit less cross. Imagine if it took a week. That'd be ridiculous.
One of my cats holds a grudge.
Which one?
Cookie.
Oh, yeah. He's, I thought it would
my
be.
Bear.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's because he's constantly feeling like usurped, isn't he? First of all, who came second?
Elmo.
Yeah, so Tookie was, you know, in clover. He had you all to himself. Never had to share his food. And then along came, was it Elmo?
Yeah.
Elmo, so Tookie's probably got a problem with Elmo. And by the time the seventh one came along, what's the seventh one called?
It's Molly. She's my old lady, 21.
So she was a rescue cat?
She was my parents' rescue cat, yeah.
So by the time Molly came along, Tookie's had enough. Where does it end, he says, in cat, to himself.
Yeah, well,
I'd try and find out for you.
Anymore.
No, because seven is the perfect number. 12:46 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. And Christina in Aldershot wants to know why cats can change their mood so quickly. There are some phone lines free, and I need some answers as well. I'll remind you what needs answers. I better remind you after this.
You could wingsuit off a skyscraper in Seoul into a firefight.
What a time to be alive!
Or you could wingsuit off a skyscraper in Seoul into a firefight in a tornado.
What a time to be alive!
Battlefield 2042. Available now.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
It's 10 to 1 and here are some questions you could answer. And if your answer is amazing, you could still win a Mystery Hour board game. If you don't win, you can buy your own at mysteryhour.co.uk. I'm not a monster. I wouldn't just dangle that in front of you and then leave you unsatisfied if you were unlucky enough not to win it or not to get through. So... where was the first border between two countries? Can you get two colds at the same time? The hair colour. Why does your hair change colour as you get older? And why do cats change their mood so quickly? Professor Hall is here. Professor Hall, I should tell you, is the Professor of the Public Understanding of Science at the University of Brighton. And I noticed from some quite humble, braggy tweets, Professor Hall, that you are currently in preparation to become some sort of television star as well.
How did you know that, James?
is it a reboot of How?
It is.
How exciting.
Fred Dynes does his cameo from time to time.
Yes.
And there's some different presenters, but I am Dr. How. They summon me when there's a demo that just requires a bit of professorial input.
Can I inquire whether you think you would have scaled this dizzy showbiz height without Mystery Hour?
No, as we all know, in the professorial board, when I was put forward, I mentioned, not even in passing, that I was contributing to Mystery Hour, and I think that swung it for me. So.
That's lovely. And now, I mean, on you go. You go on from strength to strength. What channel is it on?
It's on CITV. Actually, we've done season one, so that's being repeated on CITV as we speak, and I think season two is in... Well, I know season two is in progress because I was there filming it.
Because you're in it. Yeah, it's always a bit of a clue. I love this. So, and you've still got time for us, you know, where it all began. And we're very touched by that, Hal. Very touched that you haven't forgotten us.
It's my pleasure.
Question or answer?
I would like to pass commentary on propellers question, if
yeah,
I may.
Yeah, go on then.
Right. I think we've conflated two completely disparate effects, if I may. I think, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, that the wagon wheel effect, the propeller going backwards, only happens on film propellers. It doesn't happen when you look at it directly.
Oh, maybe you're right.
Right. Because, can I answer that one first and then say what you think the answer was? The wagon wheel effect is about the rate of frames on a film corresponding with the rate of revolutions on a wheel or a propeller. If, for example, a propeller turns once in between frames, it appears to be stationary. And there's a lovely YouTube video of a helicopter with apparently stationary rotors because the frame rate of the camera exactly matches the rotation of the helicopter. What I think you were talking about was isochades, which is the jerky movements you get if someone's looking out of a train. Do you know that? If you look at someone's eyes when they're looking out of a train, their eyes jerk back and forth. And that's because it's like watching a movie. A movie is a series of stills, but we remember each still for a fraction of a second after we've seen it, and so they blend into each other. And that's how we can see a film, which is literally a series of moving pictures. It's also called nystagmus, which is when you get that jerky eye effect on a train. So I think it's two different effects. The wagon wheel effect, which was certainly from the 1950s and the 40s, the wagon wheel's going backwards. That's when the wagons are turning slower than the frame rate.
Right, and, that makes sense. So I think it does. It probably makes more sense than me, and you're obviously a lot better qualified. So, I would need to check with John, wouldn't we, whether or not he was watching it in real life or watching it on the telly, but I think it was probably on the telly. Why Dr. Hal then on TV and Professor Hal on the radio? Did he get demoted?
No, it's not Dr. Hal, it's Dr. How.
Dr. How! Yeah. Oh, that's unfortunate. I mean, how it's a bit of a minefield, it's a linguistic minefield, Dr. How.
Yeah, it is. All sorts of intellectual.
And you just come on and blow things up and things like that, presumably.
Yes, I suppose if you want to find the lowest common denominator.
Knowing you, yeah.
Yes, blowing things up is the 99% of it.
But qualifications?
I'm a lucky guy because I work at the University of Brighton as the Professor of Public Understanding of Science and contributor to Mystery Hour.
And TV star.
Not star, Z-list.
Well, one above me. Round of applause. Lovely stuff. Oh, that's exciting. Look at that. 12:54 is the time. Eddie is in St. Albans. Eddie, question or answer?
Answer, please.
Yes.
James?
Yes.
It's to the cold.
Can you have two at the same time?
You can, yes. And it's called co-infection.
Oh.
Basically, my son, he was sick for like 3 weeks with cold. And then as he got better, he got worse again. So when I went to the doctor, again, to see for my son, and she said that you can have basically two colds at the same time, one after the other, or, at the same time as well. And they're called co-infection.
There you go. The qualifications your doctor told you.
Well, basically, it was my son, so we found it the hard way.
No, fair enough. Round of applause. That's a nice one. I like that. Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you.
James is in Chelmsford. James, question or answer?
Yeah, James, it's a question.
Carry on, James.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, I was at work listening to your show, and you announced the statistics for your listeners.
Not me, mate. I'm never boasting like that. I just keep my light under a bus. You probably heard it on the news bulletin or something like that.
It must have been something like that.
Yeah.
And that caused us to have a conversation at work. If we're receiving a signal that you're transmitting, how do you know how many people are receiving or listening to that signal?
It's diaries, would you believe? It's changing a bit with the online stuff, but people get visited door to door. They get sent diaries. You can do it online as well now, but still paper diaries are in there. And they ask you what you've done in the week, what you've listened to, and they take a sample and then extrapolate from the sample the broader population, coming up with, in some cases, 1.33 million individual listeners every week, would you believe?
So it's a survey and then multiplied sort of thing.
Yeah. I suspect with digital, it's going to become even more reliable because I don't know whether I don't know enough about the technology. But that's your answer. Qualifications. Ask me what my qualifications are.
What are your qualifications, James?
1.33 million listeners every week.
Go on. Well done.
Thank you, mate. I was tempted to give him the board game just for letting me have a boast. John's in Hartlepool. John, question or answer? Carry on. Well, it's a terrible phone line. Let's do our best. See what happens. No, that is never going to happen. Robert's in Fulham. Robert, question or answer?
Oh, I'm so disgusted with myself. Stuart's inquiry, Professor Howe is categorically wrong.
Oh, no. I've been on a number of planes with propellers.
They go forward and backwards.
And it's you can see it without being on film.
I'm sorry.
So you haven't got the why of it. You're just disputing. Go back to my original answer.
And I've been mesmerised by the propellers going backwards and forwards.
Qualifications, propeller watcher.
Completely. Propeller head.
Yeah. Oh, very well played. Round of applause, for Robert. Propeller head. Which means we revert to my original answer and we'll be off air before Professor Howe can ring in, spluttering with indignation. Dave's in Horsham. Last word, probably. Question or answer, Dave?
Answer.
Carry on.
It's a cold. You can have multiple different colds at the same time because a cold isn't a disease, it's a symptom.
Oh, OK.
Symptoms of a cold but are...
Co-infection is also part of the answer.
Not in the way that your previous caller right. meant.
What are your qualifications?
I'm a GP.
All right, then. Quickly, fill your boots, because Sheila's here.
OK, you can have a viral infection that gives you a symptom of a cold.
Yeah.
Because your body is then diverted. You can get what's called a superimposed bacterial infection, which gives you the same symptoms, but caused by a different organism.
Of course you can. Round of applause for very nicely played, Dave. I like that.
Thank you.
No, beautifully done. And that concludes this week's Mystery Hour, for which the winner of the board game is Jackson in Dagenham for the Bodmas question. And it's hard on Lisa... and particularly on her little boy who's with her. But I'm not going to have my heartstrings tugged in that way. Because the question about why we do calculations in that order, Bodmas or Bidmas, depending on your age, was actually a brilliant question. So Jackson in Dagenham gets the game. Your full terms and conditions are available at lbc.co.uk. We, meanwhile, will be doing it all again tomorrow morning from 10. The next voice you will hear on LBC belongs to Sheila Fogarty.